Curtis can come up with. "What, Curtis?" I ask. His snapback and Jordans match as usual and look brand new. Probably Christmas presents.
"You think you big shit now, huh? I ain't even mad."
"What are you talking about?"
"You ain't seen Blackout yet?" he asks.
"Blackout?"
Malik says. "Blackout is this gossip blog that loves to throw shade and pour tea, their words, on black celebs for all of the thirsty people to consume. It's ridiculous and addictive. How else am I supposed to know which Kardashian is knocked up by a black celebrity this week?"
"Yeah, they posted Bree's song a little while ago," Curtis says.
I must have heard him wrong. There is no way. "Come again?" Curtis opens the site on his phone.
"See?"
There I am, on the front page of Blackout. They posted a picture from when I was in the ring. The headline, "Teen daughter of murdered underground rap legend Lawless just killed us her damn self with this new heat." Side note, do I have a name or nah? It's short enough that it could have fit, too. I'm willing to overlook that sexist BS for now. Right below the picture is an embedded player for On the Come Up, straight from my DatCloud page. According to the listeners count,
holy shit.
20,000 streams? I shout. I got 20,000 streams! Every eye in the hall lands on me. Dr. Rhodes is a few feet away, and she looks at me over her glasses. Yeah, I'm loud. I don't care.
20,000 and counting, Curtis says. You trending, too.
But how? Who? Supreme. He kept his word. Malik's lips turn up slightly.
That's cool, Bree.
Cool, Curtis says. My dude, how many folks from the garden you know are getting attention like this? This is major, princess. Props.
I don't know what's more shocking, the fact my song is going viral or the fact Curtis gave me props. Curtis waves his hand in front of me. He knocks on my forehead.
Anybody in there?
I swat his hand away. Boy, if you don't...
He laughs. I thought you died on us for a second.
No, but I'm wondering if I'm having an out-of-body experience. I hold my forehead. This is insane.
Yeah.
Malik trails off.
I better head to class. Congrats, Bree.
He disappears down the hall.
Your boy is weird, yo,
Curtis says. Why you say that?
Hey, if I was as close to somebody as he's supposed to be to you, I would be geeking out for them right now. He could barely tell you congrats.
I bite my lip. I noticed that, too. He doesn't like the stuff I say in the song. That's all.
What's wrong with what you say?
I talk about guns and stuff, Curtis. He doesn't want people to think that's me.
They're gonna think it anyway. If you can get something from this, forget the nonsense and go for it.
I stare at him. Wow.
What?
You're actually more decent than I thought.
You love to hate, huh? Anyway.
He lightly taps my arm with his knuckle.
Don't let this make your head big. It's big enough already.
Funny. I bet the same can't be said about a certain part on you.
Ouch!
His forehead wrinkles.
Wait, you been thinking about it, princess?
Remind me why I considered him cute. That would be a hell no for 500, Alex.
Testy. I am happy for you, though. For real. Not even lying.
I twist my mouth. You're right.
I am, he says. About time we had something good come from the garden. Although, he shrugs, I still whooped that ass in a battle.
I bust out laughing. I think not.
I think so.
All right, I say. Prove it.
All right, he says.
He gets in my face, super close. Why do I just stare at him at first? Why does he just stare at me? You go, I say.
Nah, he says. Ladies first.
That's a cop-out.
Or that's me being a gentleman.
I can almost feel his words. That's how little space there is between us. My eyes drift down to his lips. He wets them, and they practically beg for me to...
The bell rings.
I back away from Curtis. What the hell?
He smirks and walks off. Next time, princess.
You won't beat me, I call after him.
He turns around. Sure, Jen.
Did he just mean me? I flip him off. To semi-quote Biggie, this is all a dream. I can't walk around the school without somebody noticing me or pointing me out. And it has zero to do with the incident or the drug dealer rumors. People who have never spoken to me suddenly say what's up. My dad's chain gets me more glances and stares. In long fiction, somebody plays my song before class starts. Mrs. Burns tells them to turn off that nonsense. And I'm on such a high that I bite my tongue. I internally say that her wig is the only nonsense in this room. Brianna Jackson will not be going to the office today. Mrs. Murray's heard the song, too. When I walk into poetry class, she goes, there's the MC of the hour. But she adds, since hip-hop is poetry, your grades should never drop again. Anyway. Seeing my streams go up and my classmates geek out has me thinking that, damn, all this stuff I've dreamed of could actually happen. I could really make it as a rapper. It's not some wild shit my imagination came up with. It's possible. 15. It's been a little over 2 weeks since Blackout posted my song. My numbers keep going up. I'm talking followers, streams, all of that. Yesterday I walked over to my grandparents' house to have dinner with them, Grandma insisted, and a car passed me blasting it. But the car that pulls up in front of my house tonight isn't playing it. Aunt Pooh waits in her Cutlass. I've got another battle in the ring tonight. No clue who I'm going up against, but that's what makes the ring what it is. You gotta be ready for whatever. Jay's at class and Trey's at work, so I lock up the house. As much online attention as I've gotten, I don't think either one of them knows about the song. Plus, Jay doesn't do the internet unless it's to watch YouTube or stalk friends and family on Facebook. Trey thinks social media promotes insecurity and doesn't use it much. For now, I'm good. Scraps reclined in Aunt Pooh's passenger seat. He pulls it forward so I can hop in the back.
You can't stop me on the come up, hey,
he says.
Can't get that shit out my head, little law. It's too fire.
Thanks. Hey, Auntie.
Sup,
she mumbles, looking straight ahead. The day Blackout posted on the come up, I told her all about it. I didn't hear back from her until yesterday, when she texted to tell me she was picking me up for the ring tonight. I guess she's all in her feelings because I didn't delete the song like she told me. Does it matter, though, if it means we're on our way? I mean, damn. That's the goal, right? Scrap looks back at me.
Okay, I see you with your daddy's chain.
I look down at the crown pendant hanging from the gold necklace. I've worn it every day since I got it. Slipping it on is a habit, like brushing my teeth. Guess I like having a part of him with me.
Ooh, wee, Scrap says into his fist. I remember when Law first got that thing. Had the whole neighborhood talking. We knew he made it then.
Aunt Pooh glares at me in the rearview mirror.
Didn't I tell you not to wear that shit?
What's she worried about? Somebody robbing me? That's why I usually tuck it under my shirt around the neighborhood. But at the ring, nobody's gonna snatch it, Aunt Pooh. You know how security is. She shakes her head.
Don't know why I bother with your hard-headed ass sometimes.
We pull up at the gym. Some of the most ridiculous-looking cars are being shown off in the parking lot. There's a lowrider that's painted to look like a box of Fruit Loops, and a truck on some of the biggest rims I've ever seen in my life. We pass a car that looks purple at first, but when the streetlights hit it, it's neon green. Aunt Pooh finds an empty spot, and the three of us get out. Music plays all around. Folks love to show off their sound systems just as much as their rides, maybe more. One car has my voice blasting out of it.
You can't stop me on the come up.
Hey!
A guy inside the car shouts and points at me.
Do it for the garden, Bree!
More people notice me and shout all kinds of love and props. Scrap nudges me.
See, you got the whole neighborhood talking.
Aunt Pooh silently sticks a blow pop in her mouth. The line to get into the boxing gym is stretched out to the sidewalk, but as always, we head straight for the doors. It's usually all good, but some guy goes,
Y'all better take y'all asses to the back.
The three of us turn around.
Who you think you talking to?
Aunt Pooh asks.
Your bitch ass,
the guy says. He's got a mouthful of silver teeth and wears a gray baseball jersey. All the dudes around him wear gray, somewhere. Crowns.
You better rethink that shit, partner,
Scrap warns.
What it is then, Nick?
The crown's eyes go straight to my dad's chain.
Oh, shit.
His lips curl up.
Look what we got here.
His friends notice it, too. Their eyes light up, and I'm suddenly a steak thrown into a den of hungry lions.
You that punk-ass Lawless's daughter, ain't you?
The instigator says. Aunt Pooh advances, but Scrap grabs her shirt.
What you say about my brother?
In law. But let Aunt Pooh tell it, that's just fine print. Auntie, my voice trembles. Let's go inside, okay?
Yeah, Auntie, go inside.
The crown mocks. He looks at me again.
You the one that's got that song, too, ain't you?
I suddenly can't speak.
What if she is?
Aunt Pooh asks. The crown rubs his chin.
She said some real street shit on there. There's a line that tripped us up a bit. Something about not needing gray to be a queen. The fuck's that supposed to mean? It meant whatever the hell she wanted to, says Aunt Pooh. She don't claim nothing, so what's the problem? It made us feel some kind of way.
The crown says,
she better watch herself. Wouldn't want her to end up like her pops.
The fuck you say?
Aunt Pooh starts toward him. He starts toward her. There are shouts of, oh, shit! And screams. Phones point in our direction. Aunt Pooh reaches for the back of her waist. The crown reaches for his. I'm frozen.
Hey, cut it out!
Frank, the bouncer, yells. He and Reggie rush over. Reggie pushes Aunt Pooh back, and Frank pushes the crown.
Nah, man, nah,
Frank says.
This shit ain't going down here. Y'all gotta go.
These fools started it with us,
Aunt Pooh says.
We was just trying to get in so my niece could battle.
I don't care, says Reggie. We don't tolerate that street shit, Pooh. You know it. Y'all gotta go.
Whoa, hold up. All? I'm battling tonight, though.
Not anymore, says Frank. You know the rules, Bree. If you or your crew, he motions to Scrap and my aunt, bring any of that gang nonsense over here, you got to go. Plain and simple.
But I didn't do anything.
It's the rules, says Reggie. All of y'all off the property. Now.
The crowns cuss, but they leave. There are whispers along the line. Come on, y'all, I say to Frank and Reggie. Please, let me in.
I'm sorry, Bree, says Frank. Y'all have to go. The rules are the rules, says Reggie.
But I haven't done shit, yet y'all kicking me out because of what my crew did? That's some bullshit.
It's the rules, Frank claims.
Fuck your rules. Do I speak without thinking? All the time. Does my temper go from 0 to 100 in seconds? For sure. But the way the crowd murmurs, they seem to agree.
Nah, Bree, you gotta go.
Reggie thumbs toward the street.
Now.
For what? I yell as the crowd gets louder. This time, Scrap grabs my shirt. For what?
'Cause we said so,
Frank tells me and the crowd. They're not hearing that, though. Somebody starts playing on the come-up from their car, and everybody loses their minds. You know what? Fuck it. Run up on me and get done up, I say loudly. Whole squad got more heat than a furnace, the crowd finishes. Silencer is a must, they ain't heard us, I say. We don't bust, yet they blame us for murder, the crowd says. When that hook hits, oh my God, just about everybody gets into it. People bounce around and yell it out with me. It's a mini concert, right here in the parking lot. Frank and Reggie shake their heads and go back to the doors. I flip them both off. Somebody yells out, y'all some bitches! I get props from every direction. If my dad is the king of the garden, I really am the princess. But Aunt Pooh glares hard at me. She marches toward the parking lot. What the hell? I catch her arm. What's your problem?
You my goddamn problem.
I step back. What?
I told you not to release that damn song,
she screams, spit flying from her mouth.
Now we can't come back here.
Hold up, you're blaming my song? I ain't tell you to get into it with those crowns.
Oh, so this my fault? She bellows. You were the one about to pull your gun on them? Yeah, to protect you,
Aunt Pooh yells.
Man, forget it. Bring your dumb ass on.
I watch as she marches off. Did she not see how much everyone loves the song? Yet she's pissed at me because some crowns gotten their feelings over a line. How am I the dumbass in this? Aunt Pooh looks back at me.
Come on!
With her snapping on me like that? Nah, I'm good. What I look like riding with somebody who calls me a dumbass when I didn't do anything wrong? Aunt Pooh glares at the sky. She throws her hands up.
Fine. Do what you want. I don't think that's a good idea.
Scrap starts. Aunt Pooh stomps toward her car.
Let her dumb ass stay. Shit done gone to her head.
Scrap looks from her to me, but follows her. They hop in the car, and Aunt Pooh peels off. Honestly, I probably shouldn't be out here alone. I wasn't the one who almost got into it with those crowns, but you never know what a gangbanger will do when they're in a mood. Just gotta keep my head down, my eyes peeled, and my ears open. Just gotta get home. I head for the sidewalk.
Hey, The law.
I turn around. Supreme strolls over to me. He's wearing his shades, even though it's pitch black out.
You need a ride? He asks.
Supreme drives a black Hummer with a gold grill on the front. Miles sits in the passenger seat. Supreme opens the driver's side door and snaps his fingers at his son.
Hey, get in the back. I want Bree up front.
Why can't she?
Boy, I said get in the back.
Miles unlocks his seatbelt and climbs in the back, mumbling under his breath.
Say it with your chest if you got something to say,
Supreme says.
Welp, this is awkward.
Like when Aunt Shell or Aunt Gina go off on Malik and Sonny about stuff when I'm at their houses. Not sure if I should leave, stay, or act as if nothing's happening. I act like nothing happened. This is the most expensive ride I've ever been in. Supreme's dashboard looks like something from the Millennium Falcon with all the screens and buttons. The seats are white leather, and seconds after he cranks up, mine feels all toasty. Supreme seems to look at his son in the rearview mirror.
You could at least speak to folks.
Miles sighs and holds his hand to me.
Miles, without a Z, my apologies for the stuff I said about your dad in our battle.
He sounds different.
It's like how when I go with my grandma to one of the nice grocery stores out in the suburbs and she tells me to talk like you got some sense. She doesn't want people to think we're some of those hood rats who frequent their establishments. Trey calls it code switching. Miles sounds like it's not code switching for him. It sounds like how he naturally talks, like he belongs in the suburbs. I mean, he is from the suburbs. But in the ring a few weeks back, he sounded extremely hood. I shake his hand. It's fine. No more hard feelings.
No more?
Hey, you had to know there were some. That's why you apologized, right?
Accurate, he says. It wasn't personal. I wasn't prepared for you to come back as hard as you did, though.
What? Surprised that a girl beat you?
No, it had nothing to do with you being a girl, he says. Trust me, my playlists are full of Nicki and Cardi.
Wow, you're one of the rare people who love both?
I am too.
They may have beef, but just because they don't like each other doesn't mean I can't like them both. Besides, I refuse to ever choose between two women. It's so few of us in hip-hop as it is.
Hell yeah.
Miles sits forward a little.
But let's be real. Lil' Kim is the ultimate queen bee.
Of course. Jay's a fool for Lil' Kim. I grew up on her. Hearing Kim told me that not only can girls rap, but they can hold their own with the boys.
The hardcore cover alone is iconic, says Miles. From a visual standpoint, the aesthetic...
Boy, Supreme says. Even though it's all he says, Miles slinks back and quietly messes around with his phone as if we weren't just having a conversation.
Weird. Where we going, Bree?
Supreme asks. I give him my address and he puts it in his GPS. He pulls off.
What happened with you and your aunt back there?
He asks. You saw that?
Yep. Saw that mini show you put on, too. You know how to work a crowd. That viral life treating you well, huh?
I rest my head back. Damn, even the headrest is warm. It's surreal. I can't thank you enough for what you did.
Don't even mention it, he says. If it wasn't for your pops, I wouldn't have a career. It's the least I could do.
So what's the plan now?
You gotta take advantage of the moment.
I know. That's why I was at the ring.
Aw, that ain't big enough, Supreme says. Although what happened tonight is gonna have people talking. Every phone in the parking lot was pointed at y'all. I can see the headlines now. Ghetto rapper has ghetto encounter.
He laughs. Hold on, I was just speaking up for...
Calm down, baby girl. I know you were.
Supreme says.
They're still gonna run with it, though. It's what they do. The key for you is to play the role, whatever that role is.
I'm confused. Play the role.
Play the role, he repeats. Look at me. I show up to meetings with these execs, right? In expensive suits that I get tailored. Designer shoes that cost what my mama used to make in a year. They still think I'm a hood nigga. But guess what? I don't walk out of there a broke nigga, I bet you that. 'Cause I play the role that they think I am. That's how we make this game work for us. Use whatever they think of us to our advantage. You know who the biggest consumers of hip-hop are? White kids in the suburbs.
Miles answers dryly, as if he's heard this before.
Exactly. White kids in the suburbs,
Supreme says.
You know what white kids in the suburbs love? Listening to shit that scares their parents. You scare the hell out of their folks, they'll flock to you like birds. The videos from tonight gonna scare the hell out of them. Watch your numbers shoot up.
It actually makes sense that white kids in the suburbs will love the videos. But Long and Tate called me a hoodlum, and I can't seem to shake that word. Now people are gonna call me ghetto? One word, two syllables. Just 'cause I wasn't mellow, they're gonna think I'm ghetto. I don't want people thinking that's who I am, I say to Supreme.
Like I said, it doesn't matter, he says. Let them call you whatever the hell they want, baby girl. Just make sure you getting paid when they do it. You getting paid, right?
Paid? From what? I ask.
Somebody should be booking performances for you, he says. Getting you verses on other artists' songs. Your aunt ain't handling that?
I don't know. Aunt Pooh's never talked about stuff like that.
Now, look, I ain't trying to get in the middle of family business,
Supreme says.
But you sure she the best person to be your manager?
She's been there from jump, I tell him, and myself. When nobody else cared that I wanted to rap, Aunt Pooh did.
Ah. You loyal. I can respect that. She a GD, ain't she?
It wasn't long after my dad died that Aunt Pooh started wearing green all the time. Yeah. Been one for most of my life.
That mess is a distraction of the worst kind, he says. I know so many folks who'd go far if they left the streets alone. But it's like my pops used to say. Never let yourself drown while trying to save somebody that don't want to be saved.
No, see, he's got it wrong. Aunt Pooh's not a lost cause. Yeah, she has her moments, and she gets too caught up in the streets. But once I make it, she'll give all that up. I think. I hope. 16. Supreme was right. Tons of people posted videos of what happened at the ring last night, and tons more listened to my song. My streams keep going up. Lots of people think that I'm somebody I'm not, too. I've been called ghetto, ratchet, a hood rat with no home training, all of that. I don't know if I'm more pissed or hurt. I can't speak up for myself and even lose my cool without somebody writing me off. So yeah, Supreme was right. I wonder if he was right about Aunt Pooh, too. I shouldn't even think like that. She's my aunt. My A1 since day one. But she also doesn't know what the hell she's doing. She hasn't said anything about booking shows or putting me on other people's songs. Absolutely nothing about how to get me paid. She's still in her feelings that I uploaded the song to begin with. But she's my aunt. I can't drop her. At least, that's what I tell myself as I poke at this sausage on my plate. Jay slides a pancake beside it. That was the last of the flour. Pooh's talking about bringing some groceries over later this week. I almost said no, but our fridge and cabinets are just about empty. That's another reason I can't drop Aunt Pooh. She always makes sure I have food. Trey stirs cream in his coffee. He's got on a dress shirt and there's a tie draped around his neck. He has a job interview this morning.
Pooh and her drug dealing money, saving the day.
It is kind of messed up. Here my brother is, doing everything right, and nothing's coming from it. Meanwhile, Aunt Pooh's doing everything we've been told not to do, and she's giving us food when we need it. That's how it goes, though. The drug dealers in my neighborhood aren't struggling. Everybody else is. Jay squeezes Trey's shoulder. Baby, you're trying. You do so much around here. More than you should have to do. She goes quiet and almost zones out, then tries to recover with a smile. I've got a feeling today's interview will be the one. I also was looking online at grad school programs for you.
Ma, I told you I'm not going to grad school right now.
Baby, you should at least apply to some programs. See what happens.
I already did, he says. I got in.
I glance up from poking at my sausage. For real?
Yeah. Applied before I started at Sal's. Just recently got a couple of acceptance letters, but the closest school is 3 hours away. I gotta stay around here and...
He doesn't finish, but he doesn't have to. He's gotta stay and help us. Jay blinks several times. You didn't tell me you got in.
It's not a big deal, Ma. I'm where I wanna be. Promise.
Trey sipping his coffee is the only sound for a long while. Jay sets the platter of pancakes on the table. Y'all go ahead and finish up.
Ma.
Good luck with your interview, baby. She goes to her room and closes the door. My heart's in my throat. I don't remember a whole lot from when she first got sick, but I do remember that she'd always go off to her room. She'd stay in there for hours, leaving me and Trey to ourselves, just like...
She not using,
Trey says. Some days, it's like my thoughts are his own. Are you sure?
She won't do that to herself again, Bree. She just needs... space. Parents never want a break in front of their kids.
Oh. Trey holds his forehead.
Damn. I shouldn't have said anything.
It's hard to know what to tell him. Congrats on getting in.
Thanks. It was stupid to apply, frankly. Guess I was just curious.
Or you really want to go?
Eventually I do, he admits. But not right now.
If I have my way, he'll go soon. Don't worry. You'll get to go before you know it.
Because you're about to get your come up, right?
What?
I know about your song, Bree, he says. I also know you got kicked out of the ring last night.
How'd you...
I'm not on social media, but I don't live under a rock,
Trey says.
About half of my co-workers sent me links, asking if that was my little sister rolling with the GDs at Jimmy's. Kayla texted me right after it happened.
Who? Oh, Miss Teak. Damn. I gotta respect sis a little more and remember her actual name. Trey, I can explain.
I told you not to hang around Pooh's rough behind, he says. Didn't I tell you? You're lucky nothing happened.
She was only protecting me.
No, she was being the hothead she always is. Shoot first, ask questions later behind bars. Doesn't help that you showed your ass.
He sure knows how to make me feel like shit.
I was only defending myself.
There's a way to do it, Bree. You know this, he says. Now, I listened to your song, and I'll admit, you got some dope-ass lines in there.
My lips turn up a little.
But, he says, in a way that tells me to wipe the smile off my face, although I get the song, now people are going to take your words at face value. And let's be real, you're clueless about half the shit you rapped about. Clips on your hips?
Trey twists his mouth.
You know damn well you don't know what a clip is, Bree.
Yes, I do.
It's the thingy that goes on the thingy on a gun. Sure you do. All that aside, this is a distraction on so many levels, he says. If you put this much energy into school, you know how far you'd go?
Not as far as this song could take me.
This is our way out, Trey.
He rolls his eyes.
Bree, that's a long shot. Look, if you want to be a rapper, fine. I personally think you can do something even better, but it's your dream. I won't get in the way of that. However, even if your song does blow up, it's not the lotto. It doesn't mean you'll be rich all of a sudden.
But I could be on my way.
Yeah. But at what cost?
He asks. Trey pushes away from the table and kisses the top of my head before he leaves. There are only two people on the bus when I get on, Dion and Curtis.
Bree, you really got kicked out of the ring?
Dion asks, soon as I step on. Why, good morning to you as well, Dion, I say, fake smile and all. I'm just dandy. How about yourself? Curtis busts out laughing.
For real, though,
Dion says as I take my usual seat. Curtis happens to be in front of it today.
Did you really get banned?
It's like I said nothing at all.
D, you saw the video. You know the answer,
says Curtis.
Ease up. Dog, some people think that was staged,
Dion says.
It wasn't, though, was it, Bree? You really be hanging with GDs like that, huh? You claim it, or you just affiliated? You know what? Here.
Curtis tosses a water bottle all the way to the back of the bus.
For your thirsty ass.
I snort. Ever since he talked to me like a decent human being at church, my tolerance levels for Curtis have been much higher. I even laugh at some of his jokes. It's weird. And I never thought I'd say this, but thank you, Curtis.
No problem. I'll invoice you for my bodyguard work.
I roll my eyes. Bye, Curtis. He laughs.
Cheapskate. It's all good.
Whatever, I say. What are you doing on the bus this early anyway? You're usually one of the last pickups.
Spent the night at my dad's.
I'm pretty sure my face says what I don't. I had no idea he had a dad. Wait, I mean, of course he has a dad. I didn't know he had a dad who's around.
He's a truck driver,
Curtis explains.
He's always on the road, so I live with my grandma.
Oh, my bad.
It's cool. At least he's not around for a good reason.
I've always wanted to ask him something, but frankly, it's not my business. Curtis kinda brought it up, so maybe it's okay?
You don't have to answer this, I say. For real, you don't. But do you get to see your mom?
I used to go every couple of weeks. I haven't been in months. My grandma goes every weekend, though.
Oh, what did she do?
Stabbed an ex-boyfriend who used to beat her up. She snapped one night and stabbed him in his sleep. But since he wasn't doing anything to her at that moment, it wasn't self-defense or whatever. She got locked up. Meanwhile, he's still around the garden, probably beating somebody else's mama.
Damn, that's messed up.
It is what it is.
I'm being super nosy. Why don't you go see her?
Would you want to see your mama as a shell of herself?
I already have. Curtis tilts his head. Back when my mom was on drugs, I saw her strung out in the park one day. She came up and tried to hug me. I ran off screaming.
Damn.
Yeah. That memory is still fresh. It was weird, though. As scared as I was, part of me was happy to see her. I used to look for her, like she was some mythical creature I wanted to spot or something. I guess even when she wasn't herself, she was my mom, if that makes sense. Curtis rests his head back against his window.
It does. Don't get me wrong, I love seeing my mom. But I hate that I can't save her. Shit's the worst feeling in the world.
I can practically hear Jay's bedroom door closing. I get it. I'm sure your mom will, too.
I don't know, he says. I've been away so long, I'm hesitant to go back. I'd have to tell her why I've been away, and that shit wouldn't help her at all.
I doubt she'd care why, Curtis. She'd just care that you're there.
Maybe,
he mutters, as Zane climbs on the bus. Curtis nods at him.
Since you got all in my business, now it's my turn to get into yours.
Here we go. People love to ask me what it's like to have Lawless as my dad. They don't realize the question should really be, what's it like having a dad that everyone seems to remember but you? I always lie and tell them how great he was, even though I barely know.
All right, be honest with me here.
Curtis sits up a little more.
Who are your top five rappers, dead or alive?
That's a new one. I appreciate it, too. It's nothing against my dad. I'm just not in the mood to fake about a stranger. That's a hard-ass question.
Come on, it can't be that hard.
Yes, it is. I have two top five lists. I hold up two fingers. One for GOATs, a.k.a. the greatest of all time, and one for what I call could-be GOATs.
Damn, you're a serious hip-hop head. All right, who are your top five could-be GOATs?
Easy, I say. In no order, Remy Ma, Rhapsody, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Joyner Lucas.
Solid. Who are your top five GOATs, then?
Okay, disclaimer, I actually have 10. But I'm gonna keep it to 5, I say, and Curtis chuckles. Again, in no particular order, Biggie, Pac, Jean Grey, Lauryn Hill, and Rakim. He frowns.
Who?
Oh my God, you don't know who Rakim is?
Jean Grey either,
he says, and I nearly have a heart attack.
The Rakim name's familiar, though.
He's one of the greatest to ever touch a mic. I'm probably a little too loud. How in the living hell can you call yourself a hip-hop head and not know Rakim? That's like a Christian not knowing John the Baptist, or a Trekkie not knowing Spock, or an HP head not knowing Dumbledore. Dumbledore, Curtis!
Okay, okay. Why is he in your top five?
He invented flow as we know it, I say. My aunt put me onto him.
I swear, listening to him is like listening to water. He never sounds forced or choppy. Plus, he's a master at internal rhymes, which is like a rhyme in the middle of the line instead of at the end. Every single rapper with skills is his offspring. Period.
Damn, you're really into this stuff, Curtis says.
Have to be. I want to be one of the goats one day. He smiles.
You will be.
He eyes me from head to toe over the seat. And if I didn't know any better, I'd say he was checking me out.
You look cute today, by the way.
Well, damn. He was checking me out. Thanks.
You look cute every day, honestly.
I raise my eyebrows. Curtis laughs.
What?
You pay attention to me like that?
Yeah, I do. For instance, you always wear dope hoodies, but it's not like you're trying to hide or something. You're just being you. You've also got this one dimple right here.
He touches my cheek, right near the corner of my mouth.
That shows when you're laughing, but not when you're smiling. Like it only wants to appear for special occasions. It's real cute.
Why are my cheeks suddenly warm? What do I say? Do I compliment him back? How do I compliment him back? Your hair looks nice.
Wow, Bree. Are you saying the rest of him doesn't look nice?
Okay, but his hair is on point. He clearly got a lineup within the last day or so. He runs a hand over the top. His waves are gone, and it looks like someone twisted the ends by hand.
Thanks. Thinking about growing it out this summer for some locks or cornrows. Just gotta find somebody who can do them.
I can do them, I say. The cornrows, I mean. I don't know how to do locks.
I don't know if I could trust you in my hair like that.
Boy, bye. I know my stuff. Sonny's mama is a beautician. She taught me ages ago. I used to hook my baby dolls up.
Okay, I believe you, Curtis says.
He leans a little closer over the seat.
So what? I'll sit between your legs and let you do your thing?
The corners of my mouth turn up. Yeah, but you gotta let me do them however I want.
However you want?
However I want.
All right. So, what do you want?
I try not to smile too much. You'll have to wait and see. Is this flirting? I think this is flirting. Wait, I'm flirting with Curtis? And I'm okay with the fact that I'm flirting with Curtis? At some point, Mr. Watson pulled up at Sonny's and Malik's houses, and they climbed on board. Sonny's in the aisle, his eyebrows raised about as high as they can go. Malik's near one of the front seats. Shayna's already sitting down and seems to be talking to him, but he's looking straight at me and Curtis. He turns forward and slinks into the seat. Sonny slowly lowers himself into a seat ahead of us, staring at me the whole way down. He wiggles his eyebrows just before he disappears. I won't hear the end of this. I won't. Eventually, the bus pulls up at our school. I let Curtis get off before I do, because Sonny is waiting for me at his seat. He just looks at me with those raised eyebrows. Zip it, I tell him as I climb off the bus.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't have to. Your face says it all.
Nah, your face says it all.
He pokes my cheeks.
Aw, look at you blushing and shit. Over Curtis, though?
Really, Bree? I said, zip it.
Hey, I'm not judging. I simply ask that you name your son and daughter after me. Sonny and Sunita.
This boy didn't. How the hell did we go from talking on the bus to having two kids, Sonny?
Two kids and a dog. A pug you'll name Sunningham.
What goes on in that head of yours?
is better than whatever has you flirting with Curtis.
I punch his arm. You know what? I'll let you and Rapid name your kids those ridiculous names instead. How about that? Sonny's eyes cast down.
I kinda ghosted on Rapid.
What? Why?
I did my SAT practice test the other day and couldn't focus on that shit for thinking about him. I can't fuck this up, Bree.
Nobody's harder on Sonny than Sonny. I've witnessed him have straight-up panic attacks over his grades and even his art pieces. It was only a practice test, son.
That reflects how I'll do on the real test, he croaks. Bree, if I get a low score on that shit?
I cup his cheek. Hey, look at me. He does. My eyes won't let his look away. I've witnessed him have so many panic attacks that I can spot them before they fully form. Breathe, I tell him. Sonny takes in a long, deep breath and lets it out.
I can't mess this up.
You won't. That's why you ghosted on him?
That's not all. Malik and I were hanging out the other day and did more research. We found out Rapid's IP address doesn't trace to the garden.
He and Malik hung out without me. That still gets me in my feelings a bit, but I gotta shake it off. What's wrong with that?
Rapid had me thinking he lived in the neighborhood. That's where all of his photography is from.
Wait, did he actually say he lived in the garden? Or did you assume he lived in the garden?
Okay, I assumed. But it shows me how much I don't know about him.
Sonny stuffs his hands in his pockets.
It's not worth the distraction.
Yet the way his voice dips says otherwise. There are more people outside the school than usual. Mainly near the front doors. There's lots of chatter. We have to push through the crowd to try to get a glimpse of what's happening.
This is some bullshit!
Somebody shouts up ahead. Sonny and I find Malik and Shayna. Malik's height helps him see over the crowd.
What's going on? Sonny asks.
Malik's jaw ticks as he looks straight into the school.
They're back.
Who? I ask.
Long and Tate.
17.
What the hell?
Sonny says. There is no way. I stand on my tiptoes. Long ushers a student through the metal detectors, as if he never left, and Tate checks a backpack nearby. My whole body tenses up. Dr. Rhodes said there would be an investigation and that disciplinary action would take place if the administration saw fit. Long and Tate throwing me to the ground must not have fit their idea of bad behavior. Dr. Rhodes is near the doors, telling everybody to come inside in an orderly fashion.
How the hell can they be back?
Sonny asks.
There wasn't enough noise made about what they did.
Malik says. He looks at me. No, hell no. This is not on me.
I didn't say it was.
You may as well have. Y'all, Sonny says. Not now, okay?
We need to do something,
says Shayna. I glance around. Half the school's out here, and most of them eye me. Am I pissed? Doubt that's even the word for it, but whatever they want me to do, I don't have it in me to do. Hell, I don't know what to do. Malik watches me for the longest. When I don't say or do anything, he shakes his head. He opens his mouth and starts to shout,
Hell no, we won't pin me to the ground, boy, you fucked up!
Curtis yells over him,
Pin me to the ground, boy, you fucked up!
Malik tries to start his own chant over him, but Curtis is loud and angry, and it becomes contagious. A second person yells out my lyrics, a third, fourth. Before I know it, I'm hearing my words from everybody but me. And Malik.
We will not tolerate that type of language,
Dr. Rhodes calls over them.
All students must stop at...
You can't stop me. Nope. Nope.
Curtis yells.
You can't stop me. Nope. Nope.
The chant shifts to that. I have a moment. Of all the places and times to have one, I do. See, those words started in my head, mine, conceived from my thoughts and my feelings, birthed through my pencil and onto my notepad. Somehow they found their way to my classmates' tongues. I think they're saying them for themselves, yeah. But I know they're saying them for me. That's enough to make me say them, too.
You can't stop me! Nope! Nope! I yell. You can't stop me! Nope! Nope!
It's hard to say this is a protest. So many of my classmates who look like me are rocking to a beat that's not even playing. They're jumping around, bouncing, dancing. Locks and braids shake. Feet won't stay still. There are A's and Ya's mixed in, up in the hype. It's different from what happened in the Ring parking lot. That was a mini concert. This is a call to war.
You can't stop me. Nope, nope. You can't stop me. Nope, nope.
Long and Tate appear in the doors. Long has a bullhorn.
All students must report to class, he says. If you do not, you risk suspension.
Run up on me and get done up,
someone yells out. That becomes the new chant, and it's definitely a warning.
Run up on me and get done up. Run up on me and get done up. Run up on me and get done up.
This is your final warning, Long says. If you do not disperse, you will...
It happens so fast. A fist connects with Long's jaw. The bullhorn flies from his hand. Suddenly, it's as if that punch was the green light some students were waiting for. A cluster of boys charge Long and Tate, taking them to the ground. Curtis is one of them. Fists fly and feet kick.
Oh, shit, Sonny says.
We need to go, says Malik.
He grabs my hand, but I tug away and rush forward.
Curtis!
He stops kicking and whirls around toward me.
Cops! I say.
That one word is enough. I bet everything that the police are en route. Curtis hurries over to me, and we run with Sonny, Malik, and Shayna. Sirens wail nearby, and the chants behind us are replaced with screams and shouts. We run until we can't hear them. When we do stop, it's so we can catch our breath.
This is bad, Sonny says, bent over.
Holy shit, this is bad.
Malik marches up to Curtis and shoves him so hard Curtis's hat flies off.
What the hell were you thinking?
Curtis catches himself mid-stumble and shoves Malik right back.
Man, get your hands off me.
You started a riot,
Malik screams in his face.
You realize what you've done?
Hey! I push Malik away from Curtis.
Stop it!
Oh, you're on his side now?
Malik yells.
Side? What the hell are you talking about?
I guess it's fine because he was chanting your song. Forget the fact he incited a riot.
It's not his fault somebody threw a punch.
Why the fuck are you sticking up for him?
Malik,
Shayna says. Sonny snatches him back.
Bruh, what the hell? Chill.
A patrol car zooms by.
If we don't get out of here, the next cop might stop and question us,
Sonny says. Malik's glare is set on Curtis.
We can go to my house. My mom should be at work by now.
Another patrol car races toward the school, lights flashing.
Come on, Sonny says.
Shayna tugs at Malik's hand. That's the only thing that makes him stop glaring at Curtis. He lets her pull him down the sidewalk. In less than an hour, almost every Black and Latinx